Well, this month we've been in a sermon series called God Speaks, exploring the life-altering and breathtaking truth that God wants to be known and so shares himself with us. And as we begin this last sermon in this series, I want to share a brief and very personal word with you all. As many of you know, my mom had a stroke in June that altered her personality, and in the midst of discovering why she had that stroke, we discovered that she had stage 4 lung cancer. She died last month, and we had her celebration of life just 2 weeks ago. And the primary way that I heard God speak through these last 7 months was through all of you. So I just wanted to say thank you. And if our sermon series was longer, I mean, it should have made it 5 weeks, not just 4, we would talk more about how God does speak through community. This community in particular, but the church as a whole, is a gift from God that I hope I and we never take for granted. Let's lean into this community. So I just want to say thank you. And I wasn't going to pray then, but I'm going to so I can like put myself a little bit back together, okay? So let's pray. God, we do trust that you want to speak. And so I pray as we talk about Psalm 13, as we talk about your word, that you would be the one to speak and that each person here would hear what you want them to walk away with. That we trust you in this, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. So God speaks. In our first sermon, we talked about how listening to God's voice is something that doesn't come naturally. It's something that we need to learn. Second week, we talked about how we learn to recognize God's voice through learning his character, largely through the actions and the words of Jesus. And then last week, Mike talked about the importance of solitude and silence so that we can hear the still, small voice of the Lord. And today, we're going to continue talking about silence, but instead of our silence, we're going to talk about God's silence. And so this Psalm 13 is in your bulletins as the call to worship. It might also be on the screens, but listen as David, King David, pens this prayer and poem. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So learning to recognize the Lord's voice is a lifelong journey, and there are times along that journey when we aren't able to hear God's voice for legitimate reasons. Sometimes we don't hear God's voice because we aren't paying attention, like we talked about previously. It's something we need to practice. Other times there's so much noise in our life and voices in our heads that we cannot discern what's the Lord and what is something else. Sometimes we don't hear God because we're clinging to our own agendas and we like to make our own choices about our life. And so we subtly or not so subtly pretend we can't hear God so that we could do what we like. Thank you. We don't want to obey. Sometimes we do not hear God because we are bowed down by depression or other bodily illnesses that stop up our ears. Mike mentioned this last week, and I'll reiterate this week. If you struggle with depression or anxiety, there is no shame in that. And God has gifted doctors and counselors to walk alongside us. And so if that is the reason your ears are stopped up, we would encourage you to seek help and to give thanks to God about that help. There are other times we fail to hear God because we're so focused on what we want to hear about. We want to hear about that relationship or that decision that we fail to hear that God wants to say something totally different to us. We're just overly focused, right? Sometimes there are good and legitimate reasons why we cannot hear God. And some of those reasons are things that we can help address, like quieting the other voices in our head or creating space to listen or creating space for the Spirit to examine us and see if we're holding on to our own agendas. All that stuff is good to do when it seems like God is silent. But there are times when we can do all of these things and God remains quiet. And there's simply not a reason that we as humans can discern. Now, maybe on the other side, after the silence is over, we'll find out the reason behind it, or maybe we won't. Regardless, in the middle of the silence, there simply is not an explanation. That was certainly David's experience. He says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Hide your face. It's such a visceral metaphor, right? People hide their faces when they don't want to be known, when they won't want to know somebody else, when they don't care. And this is how David feels about God, because he goes on, "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart?" David feels alone. He keenly feels God's silence as he wrestles with the trouble in his life. And he says, "How long, God, will my enemies triumph over me?" David experienced God's silence. Now, I think it's important for us to remember that one of Scripture's repeated phrases about David is that he was a person after God's own heart. He was fully devoted to God, and he was one who God loved. And even despite this, David experienced a time, or many times, in which it felt like God was silent and absent. We could have easily picked another scripture to talk about this. You think about Job, a man who was afflicted. We read in Job chapter 30, verse 20, these really pleading words. "I cry out to you, God, but you do not answer." Or we can think about Elijah, who Mike talked about last week, or all the other psalmists who cry out in anguish because they don't hear from God. Or even Jesus, who was fully God, but also fully human, who cried out to God in his darkest hour, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Right? Here's the point of all this that I want us to hang on to. Seasons in which we experience God as silent are normal. They are a normal part of the human experience, and they are a normal part of following Jesus. They're normal. One of the things I get to do on occasion as a pastor is to do premarital counseling. If I were to sit with a couple before they got married and say to them, "You all are the best. Your marriage is going to be awesome and wonderful and great. You will have no troubles. You will never disagree. It will be all rainbow and sunshines and unicorns." Would I be a good premarital counselor? No, I would be lying. In fact, I have actually sat with some couples sometimes who think, not with those words, they don't mention unicorns and such, but they have this like idea that they love each other, so everything's going to be perfect. And I have to say to them, life is difficult, marriage is difficult. And the reason I tell them that is twofold. Number one, it's true. And number two, because if all they expect is sunshine, then when the rain comes, they're prone to think, whoa, this isn't supposed to happen, so I picked the wrong person, and I'm out, right? In much the same way, I think it's important for us to know that there are times when God seems silent and that that's normal. If we walk into this journey of following Jesus and think it's going to be all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns and God will always be speaking with us freely, then when those periods of silence come, we might think, whoa, I picked the wrong person, man, I'm out. Either God is not real, or God is not for me, or I am a total failure and I just don't love God enough. But none of those things are true. Time of silence do not mean that there is no God. They do not mean that we are failures and don't love God. Think of David, a man after God's own heart, right? And they do not mean that we are not beloved by God. Times when it feels like God is silent, they are normal. That's why these laments like Psalm 13 are in Scripture. If you look at the inscription, which is not in your bulletin, but it says at the beginning of Psalm 13, written by David, given to the director of music. It's like David saying, hey, let's sing about this even, the whole community, right? We want to normalize that people have these experiences, okay? So what we don't want to do when silence comes is to flip out and say, I'm out. Then the question is, what do we do when these periods of silence comes? And Psalm 13 gives us two practices to lean into. The first practice is to share honestly with God. So after David laments that God is silent, he writes this in verses 3 and 4. He says, "Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." In my vernacular, it would be like David saying, hey, God, come on, get over this. Help me or I will die, right? David just sort of lays it all out. Here's how I feel. Here's what I think is going to happen. You better respond, right? The Psalms are full of humans telling God exactly how they feel. Friends, we are in a personal relationship with a God who cares about us and wants to heal us. And that means even when we feel like God is silent, we can share honestly with God, telling God how we feel and asking him to come to our rescue. God does not want us to hold back. Jerry Sitzer talks about the importance of sharing our emotions with God in his book, Grace Disguised. I know a number of you know this book. If you don't, it's one of the most helpful books on grief that I have ever read. In the book, Jerry recounts his experience with grief in a tragic accident. He lost his mother, his wife, and his youngest daughter all at the same time. He became a single dad of three. And in one section of the book, Jerry talks about how angry he was. I want you to listen to his words. He says, a few friends cautioned me about my anger, but I assumed that God was big enough to tolerate my anger and compassionate enough to understand. If God was patient with Job, I reasoned, he would be patient with me too. Besides, my anger was problem enough in itself, for I knew that anger can easily turn into bitterness. I did not want to exacerbate the problem by believing that God was so fragile that he could not absorb my anger but would turn against me instead. I found comfort in many of the Psalms that express anguish and anger before God. I see now that my faith was becoming an ally rather than an enemy because I could vent emotion freely, even towards God, without fearing retribution. Jerry is correct. God is big enough to handle all of our emotions. And when we feel like God is silent, what we don't want to do is become silent ourselves. Instead, we want to lean in. We want to engage. We want to tell God exactly how we feel. Even if we feel like we don't want to talk, we can say that to God too. I don't feel like talking right now. Will you help me with this? I want to talk to you. Lean in. Talk to God. Be honest. That's the first practice. The second practice from Psalm 13 to lean into when we feel like God is silent is to focus on God, to focus on God. So after honestly sharing with God how he feels, David continues, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. David chooses to focus on God. It's like he's making a deliberate choice, despite God's apparent silence and absence, to place his trust in God because of God's character and the history of God's goodness in his life. Again, in my own vernacular, it seems like David is saying, okay, God, seems like your face is turned away from me, and I don't understand why, and I don't like it. In fact, it feels like this silence might do me in, but I'm going to choose to remember who you are and what you have done for me. So we focus on God. I want to get even more specific, though. Let's talk about the ways we can focus on God that we see in verses 5 and 6. So the first way is in David's first section, he says, I trust in your unfailing love. I trust in your unfailing love. David knows that God's character is love, as we sang before. Oh, love that will not let me go, right? It's a love that never gives up, that never stops, that is completely trustworthy, a love that will always come through. And this is true that even when God is silent, we can count on the fact that he loves us. In fact, in love, he might be doing something in our souls while he's silent. St. John of the Cross was a Franciscan priest who lived in the 16th century. He wrote a fairly well-known essay called The Dark Night of the Soul. Woo-hoo! One you want to pick up and read, right? The Dark Night of the Soul. Now, in the book, he describes how God is doing a work of transformation in the times when God is silent. That part of what God might be doing there is helping us become less attached to how God makes us feel and more attached to who God actually is, that our love becomes more pure, that we don't just love God because we get warm fuzzies and we feel great in worship, but we become to love God for God's sake. Maybe that's what God is doing in times of silence. Maybe not all of them, but some of them. But when the silent times come, we can trust that God has love in mind. What would it be like if in those times of silence we said, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to trust whatever you're doing right now is born out of love in my life, right? We look at God's unfailing love. Second way we focus on God is the second part of verses 5 and 6. David says, my heart rejoices in your salvation. So we rejoice in our salvation. Salvation is the word for God's great rescue of us from darkness and selfishness, not only us, but our world. And the heart of salvation is Jesus. God so longed to be in relationship with us and to repair and redeem, renew our world, that Jesus, God the Son, became human for us. Jesus lived on our behalf, experiencing all the emotions and heartbreak of what it means to be human. And then Jesus, though he did nothing wrong, though he loved God and neighbor fully, died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And then Jesus breathed life, God breathed life into Jesus after he'd been in the grave 3 days, showing that God has the power to defeat death and resurrect our broken lives. Friends, if God went to such lengths to love us and to make us his very own and to bring us into his perfect kingdom, then we can have confidence that even when God seems silent, even when God seems absent, that God is for us. In those times of silence, we come back again and again to Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. We rejoice in our salvation. Next, David says, I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. For he has been good to me. David focuses on God by remembering all that God has done for him in the past. I mean, imagine if David were to write a list of all the ways God had been good to him. We can actually see part of David's list because we read about him in Scripture, right? It might go something like, God picked me out of all my family, even though I was the most insignificant and my father didn't even think I was worthy to come out and be shown to the company. It could also be that God was with me to defeat Goliath, even though I had no strength of my own. It could be that David would write, God spared my life, even though King Saul was after me. David's list, we could write it. What would be on your list? What are the ways that God has been good to you, that God has been faithful to you? In those times of silence, we come back and look at our history and say, look at all God has done for me. That's one way we focus on God. And then the final way that we can focus on God that David talks about is part of that first phrase, I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. I will sing the Lord's praise. David chooses to sing and to worship and to praise, even though God feels silent. The importance of coming in and leaning to worship, telling God who he is and what he's done, even when we don't hear back from him, that's a way to focus on God, something we can do in those moments of silence to increase our trust in him. And that's how we're gonna end the message together. We're gonna sing God's praises together. But before we do, will you join me in prayer? We're gonna pray that God would speak, but also pray for the times that we experienced God's silence, okay? God, I pray for anyone here or online or even not here yet, a part of our community who is experiencing your silence and feels it so keenly in their souls. God, I pray through community and words and always possible that you would remind them that you are holding on to them, as we sang earlier. You're holding on, and you will never let go. Your love never fails. And God, I pray in those moments when we do experience the silence, for those experiencing it now, but all of us who will experience it later on as we go throughout this journey of faith, that you would do something beautiful in us during those silence moments, that you would help us to love you more dearly and love our neighbors more dearly because of the silence. Don't let it go to waste, God. You never let anything go to waste, and we can trust you in that. You bring good out of evil. It is your specialty. And so we ask for you to do that good work. And now, God, as we sing your praises, remind us that you will never let us go and that it's all about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.